I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Moncrief on News Talk.
It's National Tree Week in Ireland, where we celebrate trees and recognise their importance to our ecosystem. Or do we? In theory, we are concerned about the loss of habitat in Ireland, and according to a report published this week, people feel an overwhelming sense of loss at the disappearance of nature. Yet our government has been fined for ignoring the EU Habitats Directive, and 90% of our natural habitats in Ireland are judged to be in a poor state. The biologist and former president of the Tree Council of Ireland, Aine Iolauna, joins us now to ponder all of this. Aine, good afternoon to you.
Hello, how are you doing?
Well, I suppose first off, tell us about National Tree Week. What will be happening?
This is the National Tree Week. Well, you see, you had a whole list of awful things there, like, you know, so do we curse the darkness or do we light a candle? You have to do one or the other. Now, the Tree Council of Ireland has been running National Tree Week for 40 years. Dáithead Bliain na Fáis. So this was the 40th celebration. This year, we have our sponsors, Caoilte, who give us loads of trees to plant. And over the 40 years, we have planted 1.4 million trees during that week of National Tree Week. Mm. So we have a theme every year. This year it's Growing a Greener Future Together. Caoilte have given us 100,000 trees, and all over the country, all this week, we have people planting trees in their communities, in their schools, gardens. You can't get one and plant it privately in your garden. These have to be community events,
yes,
with community buy-ins and that sort of thing. So our president, Uachtaráin na hÉireann, Catherine Connolly, launched it for us yesterday in Newbridge House up in beside Donabate, and we're going from strength to strength as a consequence of that.
How many trees do we need, though?
Lashins.
I know 1.4 million is an impressive number.
Well, it is, yes, of course.
I would imagine it's a multiple of that.
Thing is, Ireland, we are Cairde Gael. Gael is the Irish word for someone who lives in the woods. It's a Welsh word. Mm. A Welsh word. The people from Wales looked across and said, them fellas are all living in the woods. They're Gaels. Still a Welsh word. So that's, I mean, we come from that. We had country covered in trees, maybe 80% after the last ice age with climax vegetation. Then people came along, the Neolithic people cut them down to grow crops and all of that and kind of thing. And so we can have cut the enemy faster than I'm with, if you want to go on with that. And we got down to 1.5% of the country covered in trees by 1900. Like,
wow.
All of that removed. And then we got our own government. We started planting trees for forestry. So we have up to 11% of the country covered in trees now. But a lot of that is a crop, sitka spruce mostly, that is used for timber, for building houses, all of that kind of thing. But they're still trees. They still suck carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. They grow twice as fast as deciduous trees because they have leaves all the year round, so they grow the whole time. So 40 years, you'll have a sitka spruce with 5 tonnes of carbon in it. It'll take 80 years for an oak tree to do the same thing. But your forest with the national, you know, the native trees, those kind of forests, they have much more biodiversity in them because there's different species of trees, different shrubs underneath. You have vegetation on the floor, you've got birds, all of those kind of things, different ages of trees, which are crop. You have all the trees, same species, same age, that sort of thing. But I mean, you wouldn't be expecting a field of barley to be full of biodiversity. So I don't know why they're pointing the finger at sitka spruce and giving out about it. It's a crop, that's what it is. So we need more of our native woodlands, and we need to expand the bits of woodland we have. We need to let our hedgerows be, what they call them, corridors of wildlife, corridors between one thing and another, having continuity between one habitat and another habitat in areas which are farmed. And these kind of things are all, you know, nature restoration, restoring the habitat to what we had. Because the more we intensify, the more we change from one kind of farming to another, from haymaking to silage, to having great dirty big machines that need to get in. They can't go through a 5-bar gate. You've got to make it all bigger. Then you might as well take out the hedge altogether while you're at it, which of course is people are beginning to be aware of how important trees and hedgerows are, because we're losing them now to cholera, which is the ash dieback. and we lost them before to the Dutch elm disease. So when we see that happen, we begin to become more and more aware that it's not them, the government are not doing enough. We all have a responsibility for this. So this is what we're trying to do with National Tree Week. We're trying to grow a greener future together, as is our theme, using the trees from Caolte and having events so that we have community involvement, that people have skin in the game. If we planted these trees in our community, then we're interested in them, we're keeping them going, we mind them, we want them, we're not giving out about them.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I mean, you're right. Everyone should, everyone has an investment in this. Obviously, it's our shared future. But, you know, there's things government should be doing, perhaps, but aren't doing.
Well, there's always things the government should be doing and they aren't doing. You know, we had 12 Green Party TDs. And now we have one.
Yeah.
So why weren't they elected if, I mean, the government didn't go on whatever. I mean, they all said what their policies were. Then the people, the Green people went on their policies. They didn't get elected in. You get the government you deserve. So, I mean, you know, why didn't we put in 24 Green people if we wanted? Well, the Green people did a huge amount of good, the last of all the greenways, all of the things that they put in for the environment. So do the people of Ireland want it or do they not? Are they just playing lip service to it?
You yeah. Know? So I mean, well, I mean, is that's a good point. Then, you know, on the one hand, we say we want those things, but we won't vote for green TDs. Or maybe people feel there are more important things and they'll vote for other people.
Make me pure, but not yet.
Yeah.
That's St. Augustine.
Yes.
I think that's kind of it to a certain extent. But
Time's running out. There's not we can't afford a not yet, I would have thought.
No, no, of course we can't afford a not yet. We've been saying this for 40 years. This year, we really noticed it by having it raining for 2 months on the eastern side of Ireland. I mean, our world is changing. Our climate is changing. One of the ways we can fix this is to take carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. Trees are the only way you can do it. There's no engineering technology or any kind of scientific things you can do. Plant the trees, they'll suck it out and they'll hold it in themselves. Well, I stop putting it up, but that's the way you can get it out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, getting... But the thing is that the government... The Department of Forestry and Caolte, the Department of Forestry can't give money to Caolte to buy land to plant because that was gotten rid of in EU legislation about the year 2019-97. Before that, we had Caolte carrying out afforestation as well as reforestation. Now, Caolte have loads of land and when they cut down the trees to harvest them, they plant them up again. That's reforestation. That's not increasing the area, just keeping it going. Afforestation is planting new trees.
Mm.
So who's going to plant the new trees? The landowners are going to do that. So why would they do it unless they're going to be incentivized to do this, unless they see the importance of doing this, unless they're compensated for that? I mean, if you have a great field and you're getting crops and you're getting farm payments and then you take a hunk over to plant trees, until very relatively recently, you lost your payments for that bit of the field because you were producing something. So, I mean, that has changed of late and you will get your payments now. But that was a long time coming. So, I mean, it's not surprising that as a consequence, you know, that the landowners look to themselves, look to their money, their payments we get, our nitrogen derogation still happening. The only country left now in the EU with that, increasing the amount of nitrogen going into our water bodies, increasing the amount of algal growth there and as a consequence reducing the quality of the waters there.
Yeah.
That's all happening because it's been lobbied for. Lord save us and bless the amount of lobbying that went in for that. The nature restoration legislation that went through last year got through by a whisker. I mean, because one of the countries changed its mind and voted for it. And that's to restore our habitats that we have destroyed all over Europe, not just in Ireland. And that is now law, and we have to have a plan into them by September saying what we're going to do to make that actually happen.
Yeah. Who gets an input into making that plan?
Well, everybody does.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a consultation. Evie Sullivan is the chair. She was the chair of the Citizens Council. If you remember, we had a Citizens Assembly on biodiversity and she did a great job on that. So she's the chair of this and she's been doing it on three prongs. She has had meetings, if you like, all around the country with communities in different parts all around. People came along to those, gave their opinions. She has had leaders and people who are in charge. She's had invited meetings with those and then the government's input into it as well. So those three prongs of the thing are all going in. So the people who got their say in the community ones all around the country, that's been had over the last 4 or 5 months, and the report of that has just come out today in actual fact, and it makes grim reading because the people who went to all those meetings said they were really heartbroken, they were sorely disappointed at how much in their lifetime the quality of wildlife in Ireland and the amount of area for it had deteriorated. And they had a meeting in the Mart in was it Mayo or Galway? I've forgotten where the mart was, or maybe it was Roscommon. But they had the farmers there, you know, so it wasn't that they just went out and, you know, people, but they went to the landowners, they went to people who used the environment for sport, they went for people who, you know, all around the country. It wasn't just one community who would say that, wouldn't it? You know, it was a very good actual analysis of getting a lot of people involved and doing it in a proper way and getting the report out.
Yeah.
So
that's grim then. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they all are all very disappointed. Well, that's grand. They're all very disappointed. Mm. So now then we're going to put back nature restoration. We're going to propose that we block the drains, we improve our bogs, we plant more trees. And there you'll have the whinge. And my father drained, my great-grandfather drained the land, got rid of it. You know, we now have a field. I mean, John B. Keane's, the field isn't gone yet. And now they want to flood the whole place. You'll hear that as well too. So on the one hand, we want it done, but not in my backyard.
Yeah.
And that's the awful thing about it. Not in my backyard. We want the environment fixed up, but I don't want to suffer. I don't want to change my way of life. I see this as reducing my standard of living. So I don't, not me personally,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I don't want this. So like, yeah, you should be doing it and you should be doing it.
So is it important then to get a majority of people to buy into measures like this, do you think? Or is it just there isn't the time? They just have to be kind of forced through a bit.
Well, I mean, the thing is, we all know how things can be delayed by objections. Of course, people have to be involved. Of course, people have to be allowed to input. But the Aarhus Convention was, that Aarhus one that we had, was to say that things shouldn't be done behind people's backs. You know, that the environmental issues have to be, everybody has to be allowed to have an input into their environmental issues. And of course, people see that as people holding up planning for this, that and the other. Mm. But I mean, we all live here. It's our world. I mean, we should be contributing. And that was what the artist said, that the people in charge can't do things sneakily behind our backs. So, you know, that's the one. So then if you consult with everybody, that takes time. But the people who are being consulted with have to be a bit more positive towards it. They can't be sort of saying, that's a great idea, but not over here,
yeah,
not over there.
Well, invariably, that's what happens. And one listener says, I would love to vote for the Green Party as the theory of their policies is excellent. Unfortunately, I can't afford to put that their theory into practice, which may well reflect a kind of a...
That's what I'm saying about people's standard of living, you know?
Yeah,
And building motorways and, you know, where are the trains? Where's the train from Navan to Dublin? Only an hour from Dublin.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the carpet, whatever the fellow was selling something, and it was in Navan, and it was only an hour from Dublin. And that's, I've got to say, many hours it is from Dublin now if you're coming on the car. And they put in motorways, they put in the M3, but they still couldn't put in the railway line, which is there. I mean, there was always a railway line from Navan to Dublin. It's a goods line. But no, that couldn't go in. But the motorway, the M3, could go in over the graves of Finn McCool and Cormac McArthur and everybody else. Do you remember how long that was held up with all the archaeology involved? It's there, but the railway line isn't there. You know,
you've been advocating for this now for decades.
Oh, more years than I care to remember.
Does it get you down at all? Because you don't seem down about it. You're quite positive.
Well, I go home and put a bag over my head and give up. Or else I keep going, one or the other. I mean, you can't. I mean, and too much negativity makes people despair, which there's no point in doing anything because there's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
That's not true. There is things you can do if you want to do it enough. Yeah, like Henry Ford said, if you really want to do something or you really don't want to do the same thing, you can think of 10 good reasons for the same thing as to whether you want to do it or whether you don't, depending on whether you want to do it or whether you don't.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, trying to convince people to be more positive, trying to convince people that this is something that we should do. So, in a way, it's interesting that this survey that Evie Sullivan carried out and published today shows us that people are disappointed and are saying, you know, when we were young, because we only have a memory of about 50 years. So people remember what it was like 50 years ago. I mean, of course, not you. It's probably only 10 years ago because you're so young. But for some of us, at any rate, you know, and that's it. But 50 years is a very little amount of time. Back to the 1970s, we had twice as much biodiversity in the 1970s as we have now. Now, not that we've got rid of half the species,
yeah,
but the amount of swallows, the amount of curlews, the amount of corncrakes have all been reduced because of land use change. Not so much for climate change. Land use change is the thing here in Ireland. So, and then in the 70s, people were probably saying, oh, I remember in the 40s before the Second World War, it was all, and there were much more biodiversity even then too. So we only remember back 50 years, whereas the thing is on a larger scale than that. So to try and not be associating midges and you know, all kinds of snails and slugs and stuff like that as bad news, that was biodiversity. They kept a whole thing in place. We had corn buntings, we had siskins, we had linnets, we had all of those things, you know. And they're, in fact, the corn bunting is now extinct. That's one of the birds that is. One of these grain-eating birds that were in grasslands where we grew crops and things like that.
Yeah.
It's coming back to bite us now because we have no food security. I mean, we won't be short of beef. We export 90% of our beef that we have all these nitrogens for. It's not for us. But we're importing potatoes.
Yes, I know. It's gas.
Not all the potatoes, but some of them.
Is that an aspect perhaps because you just see a headline, you know, something held up because of snail, but there's no explanation as to why the snail, it's not just the snail, it's the snail and how it relates to everything else around it.
Do you remember the M7? You probably don't. That was the M7, the Cork Road, and it was going through the Curra, and somebody decided that the mares would be frightened on the Curra in the stud farms if the road wasn't, you think there was the mountains of Mourne it was going through. I mean, how flat is the Curra? But they had to cut a thing through it there just around Kildare town, and then they had to, but what they discovered was they were cutting through the aquifer, the other side of which was Pollardstown Fen. And in Pollardstown Fen, there were snails that were, as it turned out, the snails were actually an indicator of a whole habitat. So it wasn't just a dead snail. Well, the world wouldn't stop if there wasn't a snail. But the snail was actually the indicator of that whole habitat. But no, they decided they were going through, cutting it. They were going to line it with plastic. That would hold it in. We had all the jokes about the plastic bags. We were putting the plastic bag tax at the time, if you remember. They could all go to hold it up. But they put it in, and the water has sunk on Pollardstown Fen, and the snails and all of the habitat that was at the top level that required more levels of water, it's gone. Because the levels dropped, as we said it would. So the snails, or whatever it is that the swans or whatever, being the fall leader says swans and snails are holding up development. These are just poster boys, if you like, or they're just the indicator species of a whole habitat that's been destroyed. So it isn't just the snail. It isn't just the swans. It isn't just whatever it is. It's that whole, so that whole habitat in Pollardstown Fen is drying out because the water is punctured by this and, you know, the road is going through and everybody is lashing up and down to Cork at the speed of light. No, they're not, because the road is jammed there because so many people have cars. they'll all be getting electric cars soon.
Yeah.
Because there'll be no oil for them.
Yeah, exactly. Or it'll be unaffordable the way things are going. Aina, thanks a million for coming in to talk to us today.
A pleasure.
That was Aina Nealauna there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.